it's Harry. It's Harry Carey.
Jesus.
Hi, John.
I thought you were calling from another planet, but I called you.
And I hear my echo. This is pretty cool.
Oh, you can hear
me.
Hey,
listen, John, I just wanted to... Brock let me have the microphone just for a second.
Okay, Pony. What you got to say, Harry?
Hey, I just wanted to congratulate Anthony Rendon on his homer last night. And the Mets went to Miami after losing the series to the Brewers, and they dominated. So that was really good. They had young hard-throwing A.J. Cole on the mound, who really shouldn't even be in Major League Baseball. And he actually surprised everybody by pitching like an actual pitcher. It was amazing.
Wow, Harry. That's amazing.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye now. I don't think I should be allowed to go to the Nats games because I don't pay attention to it except when I'm there.
He was particularly fired up this morning.
I know. So Harry Carey, huh? I thought he was dead.
Yeah, he is.
Man, that happens all the time to me. You know.
Well, it's a specialization technique that I use, and you can't really compare how they actually speak now. So
right.
The impression is off a little bit. Then, too bad. How do you know that's not the way he talks?
Right. Right.
I'm just projecting how he would speak now.
Well, you're right.
Like William F. Buckley Jr.
Oh,
miss the case.
Oh, shut up. Just shut up. Oh God. I mean you've been dead long enough and not long enough. I mean, come on. Buckley, we have to put up with him in addition to all these other douchebags. Jeez.
Your liberal commentary.
I am not a liberal.
Obviously, your commentary is quite off-putting.
I'd like to have you taken out and shot.
It's too late. I'm already dead.
I know. That's why. Well, we're still hearing from you. I mean, it's like the aliens are implanting this thing. Hey, you get to hear Buckley forever. You know. Oh, gee. Oh, God. Where's Gore Vidal? Where is he? Crypto fascist, you know. Crypto Nazi, I think he called him. You know. Actually, though, what was really going on was that Buckley had asked Gore for a date.
So he turned him down. You're not liberal. You describe yourself as a Bolshevik.
Yeah, I'm a Bolshevik, yeah. I'm closer to that than I am other things. I'm not even that either, you know. I mean, there's problems with all everything, you know. But, I'd say that fits my temperament better than liberal, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm of the opinion, you know, that you can't talk these guys down. Yeah, you have to take them down, you know. And I'm looking at our history, and every time we have a bunch of serious assholes to take down, it just gets ugly as hell.
And by the way, I just wanted to mention this week on all your progressive and liberal stations, and even for possibly sometime Bolsheviks, taking over for Stephanie Miller this week and stepping onto the mic is our good friends, Francis and Angela. Angela V. Shelton of the Detroit Sheltons, Frangela, the comedy duo, and they'll be
really
on the mic all week on Free Speech TV.
Oh, God.
And also on like stations like WCPT out of AM out of Chicago.
Well, we won't be playing them.
I know. I'm just saying that they're, you know, we have seen them perform live twice, and we have met them and hung out with them, and they're very nice ladies, and they're very smart, very entertaining, and very funny. And they've worked very, very hard for everything they've got.
So, has North Korea ever actually attacked anybody?
Ooh, here, John Kay.
Oh, Kim. Thank you for calling in when this touchy situation we have here.
Oh, you reckon my new bomb?
I love it. I love it when you're, well, you know, I like it when you make the bed covers go up and down, man.
Ooh, you broke something up.
Yeah, you did.
Terra, Japan.
But I'm serious, Kim. When was the last time you actually attacked anybody?
Ooh, yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my generals had the nerve to rip me in the eye.
Uh-oh. What happened to him?
He dead.
Oh, he dead?
Not dead.
He not dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Is he going to get
He had a nice sandwich.
He had a what sandwich?
It was a nice sandwich doused with poison!
I see. Oh, boy. Okay. What kind of poison did you...
He brought the dipping sauce, which really a dipping sauce.
That's
what a dumbass.
Yeah, you should really. Really, you know, you should know that Kim is going to kill you with dipping sauce.
Cool, yeah.
Hey, Kim. Hey, Kim, do you have a girlfriend?
Hey, Mr. Case, is that none of your business?
Yeah, it is. Nah, it is because I was last night. I was partying with someone that said she was your girlfriend. How could that be?
Was her name a hydrogen?
You know, her name was Betsy DeVos.
She's not my girlfriend.
She's not. Oh man, she wants people to you know. I mean. Stop going to public schools.
I would suggest that maybe her brother, Mr. Prince, more my style.
Mr. Prince, is that her brother? Really?
What?
Betsy DeVos is the little Nazi murderer prince that runs that little what's that Blackbeard security or something?
Blackwater, stupid.
Yeah. Well, Blackbeard, Blackwater. Come on.
He's not the same tech money. He take North Korea money.
Yeah, right. You know. Hey, you know, I was once offered a trip to North Korea, but I turned it down.
Hey, no one cares what you think no more. Okay?
That's true. No one cares. That's why I sign all my letters Kim Jong-un.
You pissed me off.
I gotta sign all my letters.
Look outside your window.
What do I see? I see a nuclear missile coming in. Yeah, right. Okay.
Do you see your caboose?
Yeah.
Okay, blow it up, you dumbass.
Blow it up.
No more future studio for Mr. Case.
Right. All right, Kim, I think we've had enough of you. Why don't you...
I've had enough of you. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, God.
Oof. Man. Wow.
He's over the edge.
Yeah.
But anyway,
isn't it a constant need to be, like...
Yeah.
Recognized or, hey, you guys aren't talking to me, man, so...
Yeah,
here.
But has he actually attacked anybody?
No, not really. No. No, it's all, you know, you see these, all these uniformed men all dressed up in every picture of him, and he's always touring, like, the bombing facilities and the military facilities, and then there's no picture of the actual people of North Korea and how they live, and it's actually quite frightening.
Is it really? I mean, that's my question. I mean, how? I mean, what is he? I mean, one of the every time we ratchet up the sanctions, he starts another bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you go after him militarily, he's gonna wipe out South Korea, one of our chief allies and one of the major industrial countries now.
And he'll also wipe himself out, too.
Well, he doesn't seem that, you know, I think that he's shown that if it gets into it, he's ready to commit suicide. That's clear. That's not going to be a problem for him.
Right.
So my question is that why? What is the purpose of escalating the rhetoric? You know, we have you know, Trump with massive fart clouds rhetoric, and we have you know, Mattis also said something stupid and big and threatening, and then we have Tinkerbell there at the UN. You know, begging for war. You know, I take all these people. You know, that's a bunch of hot air. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Well, I mean, and as all of these things get more print or media coverage, the full-scale destruction and manipulation is happening at EPA and, you know, the Homeland Security and on and on and on. We have, you know, if people, good people aren't quitting, they're putting in for early retirement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's
positions
over.
Are not being filled. You know, everything from commerce to every, which is, as I said, the EPA is structurally unfit. And, you know, Schiffer Brains wanted to cut the emergency relief funds, you know, the flood insurance program, and on and on and on. So,
right.
You know, and then when you see somebody say something really smart online, like, gosh, I wish we had that $300 billion that Obama gave back to Iran, you really literally want to punch someone in the face.
Well, I don't care. Personally, I think that, you know, Trump's not going to give Texas that much money. Houston is going to stay in serious trouble for a long time.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Trump's not going to give. No, he's a dildo. You know, I mean, it's fake sex all the way.
Hey, that's an insult, okay? Because that's a useful tool.
Well, maybe, okay, but I mean,
he is a broken
a substitute deal. For you know, for, the guy can't engage on anything. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does, you know, it's a jackass from beginning to end. So, so that what that really means is federal actual dysfunction. You know, we had a lot of it with McConnell, okay, and when Obama was president, and now we've got, you know, Dysfunction Incorporated running the country, okay? And it's like,
No doubt.
We're ahead. You know, forget, hey, Houston, you know, help ain't coming.
Nope.
It ain't coming. Not from this guy.
Frankly,
Texas, from your policies toward the president, you know, you don't even deserve it, frankly. You know, actually, that is true. You know, frankly, if I was the dictator, I'm not sure I'd help you either.
Well, you know.
I know there's a lot of innocent people suffering, but people get the politicians they deserve, and you got to get off your ass and do something about it if you want some different result. All right?
Well,
no one's coming to save you.
The other thing about this whole thing is, you know, and I've said this, is you're not talking about, you keep hearing broadcasters from ESPN to MSNBC to CNN to every other goddamn nationally funded petrochemical fucking bullshit, I'm sorry. But you see these people not talking about the actual policies of no zoning.
Of course.
You know, just... Having a, what about the, and I know I sound like a what about us, but let's talk about the ammonia plant that blew up a couple of years ago that was right, you know, in the middle of town.
Okay.
I mean, there's actual footage of that from a man and his daughter taking footage of that fireball that exploded and blew up that town. Now, they're safe and they got out of harm's way, but the rest of the town didn't.
Well, the same thing, Berkeley County is the same way. There's no zoning in Berkeley County at all.
No.
So if you want to start I think we ought to get up right next to Michael Folk's house and build a tire-burning plant.
Well, it's either that or a brothel.
Well, whatever. I don't care. Or, you know.
I mean, there's amazing things they're doing with artificial intelligence and robots, John. So
I think there are amazing things, but I think I'm all in favor of the addiction clinic being right next, being upstairs or downstairs from Michael Folk's office. By the way, that guy's, you know, what a lion sack of crap he is. You know, and they call him a moderate. If that's moderate, you know, I'll take Trump and the consequences, and we'll have the revolution and see what happens. Okay.
Well, that's the other thing that people. One of the fascinating things. I meant to send it to you, Nick Hanauer, in July, and I didn't pick up on this, or my wife just picked up on this. She sent it to me. It's a very long and lengthy discussion about his brethren.
He's
a very wealthy guy. Probably
who's
close
this?
To a billion.
Who are you talking about?
Nick Hanauer.
Well, I don't even. I've heard the name, but who is he? Come on.
He's a very wealthy guy. Okay.
And okay.
Essentially, he has talked about and advocated for a lot of things that we have advocated for. That, you know, look, he wrote the pitchforks are coming.
Yeah.
You know basically he was saying that the elites need to stop this constant separation and on inexorbitant wealth, because at some point
they can't stop
even the Trump voters, at some point when they find out that their lives are not going to improve at all.
No.
When they discover that nothing is going to be fixed, they're going to be mad. They're going to be angry.
Well, they're already
angry. That anger is going to continue to manifest. It's already manifested in us and in you and a lot of other people that we know.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I mean, his point is exactly what you and I have been saying, is that this austerity process isn't good.
I don't think
long-term
the
for anybody.
I don't think the elites on can stop it.
Well, I mean, he lives in Seattle, and
yeah, I know.
One of the amazing things is the pushback against the raise in minimum wage. The incredible thing about it is it was kind of a test market for restaurateurs, because they were complaining that, oh my God, you know, we're all going to go out of business and blah blah blah. Well, their turnover rate at their positions as far as server, you know, chef, cook, line cook, dishwasher, all of that has plummeted by 70%. In other words, guess what? If you pay people good money, they want their job.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
they want to keep their job, and they want to do a good job. And now their number one complaint is they can't find enough people. Because now you have people who are working there that can actually afford to sit down and have a meal there.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. You're pointing out the rationality of raising wages, and it's there. But I don't believe that you'd have to say, in order for these let's take Hillary Clinton, for example, okay, or the Clintons.
Why are we talking about her?
Because
I'm talking about Seattle.
Because Hillary Clinton is a good example of, you know, the liberal elites that would like to do something about income inequality, but every time they're in power, they can't. Okay, I mean, they try. They want to. It's not that they don't want to. Okay, it really.
Well, yeah,
is.
And that's covered in this. That's covered by Nick as well. I should send it to you. You should read it. It's a pretty lengthy read, but it's good quality stuff by somebody who knows.
So the problem is, you need to have a structural change, and the problem with, you know. The problem with liberal billionaires, okay, is they can't do the structural change, okay? That they cannot do, okay? They don't mind personally paying more taxes, and they don't mind putting some money behind some trying to influence the situation themselves. But they can't do the structural change, and we got a problem with the way that especially the corporate setup is set up now to undermine. It's got all the incentives it needs to undermine democracy, and when we have to fix that somehow. And I don't know that there's a fix that is. I know I got a lot of socialist friends. Well, let's just socialize everything. Well, you know that. You know, they tried that at various times, and
that has mixed
results. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he was advocating for what you were talking about in a certain sense to a graduated level, a graduated effect level. Like, for instance, you couldn't just go, okay, everybody now in America makes $15 an hour. You can't. That's not something. That's not realistic, okay? But what he was saying was the phased-in approach there in that area, and it's had effects outside of the area of the city, is that that graduated approach actually has worked very well for, you know, trainees and, you know, on occasion, as I was discussing, some of the, like the gentleman who was a recruiter from Raleigh, North Carolina, recruiting for jobs, is sometimes these jobs are posted, you know, if you look at the drop in income for even folks who have graduated from college, it's sure. Pretty nominal. I mean, it's up. Yeah. It is. That drop in income is not gonna. It's not gonna help anybody. And essentially, that was, you know, you have to pay people a decent living wage, or we're all pretty much effed.
Yes, I think we're effed, you know? And we have to. And it's gonna. That's why I don't see any. I don't think that anything to the. What I want to say this. I think that Hillary's campaign, because of this situation. I mean, I didn't think so before. I tend to think so now that kind of a campaign is doomed. I don't think it's a good thing that it's doomed. I think we'll be better off, you know, if they could find a way to do a Roosevelt thing. Okay, I think that would be great. You know, convince half the billionaires or a third of them or something like that, that look, if you had a more stable system, you can still make money and everybody would live together a little better.
Right. I think you're right, John. I completely, but you're seeing a little bit of that based on the message is just clunky right now.
It's weird.
They're not able to sell it because they don't have a young, vibrant, I mean, they have a few young, vibrant speakers who are, you know, inspirational and motivational and can get their message across. But you also have folks, you know, and I don't mean to beat her up because it's a popular thing, but you have folks like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer who, you know, really aren't really all that motivational.
Well, and Chuck Schumer, look, I mean, look, he's got a huge backing from parts of Wall Street, right, as well as the whole Israeli thing he's hooked up in.
No doubt.
Which is all pulls him way to the right, okay, at times. And then you got Nancy Pelosi, who is, well, I said she comes from, you know, she's come from you know, a very progressive, wealthy community in the West Coast, okay? But it's liberal. I mean, it's kind of where the liberals are at, the wealthy liberals in California. I mean, you know, look, I mean, Jerry Brown has got himself a liberal republic there, and it's working.
Well, I mean, so does the guy in, I always forget his name, and I shouldn't, the governor of Minnesota.
He's doing that. Minnesota's doing
another,
well, too.
Another example of someone who is doing some things, and with the help of the giant of the Senate.
Oh, Al Franken. Oh, yes, right, it's true.
Al Franken, giant
of the Senate. Yeah. And
I say that deliberately to subconsciously plug his book because it reminds me that I want to buy it and read it too.
Well, there you go. So I mean, I want to get back to this thing about North Korea a little for a minute before we move on here, buddy. By the way, you're listening to the Winners and Losers radio program. It's a Tuesday, September the 5th, day after Labor Day. We're going to have
Tuesday, everybody. Tuesday.
I think we're going to have my friend the Rabbi Ari Plost coming in here at 9 o'clock. They're going to do the Are You Crazy show here with Zaki. I think he's coming, and we're going to talk about hate and its remedy, and some of the steps that area congregations might think about, anyway, consider. So there's that. But on the North Korea thing, I think the fact that, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to take military action against somebody who actually has not attacked anybody yet. How are you going to do that? And what kind of precedent does that set?
Well,
you know, see, I don't think you're going to find any international support for that at all.
No, you're not.
Because
I think because of the way those dominoes fall, it's not going to be good in any direction.
So the truth is, you just got to, you know, I mean, unless he actually attacks somebody, all right, you just got to put up with it.
You're a poopy head. No, no, you're a poopy head. No, no.
Yeah,
no,
see,
no,
that's what
no,
Trump's.
No, no, yeah. No, you're a poopy head. No.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which is exactly the sucker bait that Trump has gotten sucked himself into. I mean, here's the master of sucker bait getting sucked into this little pee-pee contest with North Korea. And who has not yet attacked anybody. Yeah, I mean, the guy sounds like a nut job that's running the place. I mean, you got him down there a little bit, you know. But I mean, you know, if he's not going to attack anybody, yeah, just put up with it. I mean, eventually.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, I don't think President Obama ever really he kind of kept that. Yeah, he just kind of, with his responses and his policy, was like, yeah, whatever.
I mean, I think they got to keep the pressure on about trading in nuclear weapons, okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think going after the source.
But I think the sanctions.
Actually, that's even difficult, you know?
But the sanctions are, you know, see, I mean, the sanctions have not achieved anything with North Korea, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe somebody has a different point of view about how, oh, they've prevented North Korea from doing something.
So,
have they?
But you're saying also, too, are the North Korean people actually not living in poverty?
Well, who knows? I mean, is it really our business? Okay? I mean, what are we going to do? Nothing that we're going to do in North Korea is going to do anything for anybody. Okay?
No, I'm saying, you know, are you the people, the loyalists to Kim Jong-un are going to be fine, but what about the rest of the people?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. You know, they might.
You know, and again, you know, it probably isn't our business right now because we have certainly more difficult issues that present themselves right here in front of us.
You would think.
You know, but this saber rattling, you know, isn't really conducive or helpful or positive in any way, shape, or form. To talk about not actually discussing anything, it's a, you know, Joe Cerencioni of the Plowshares Fund has said this over and over again. You can listen to the bluster, but you also have to have something going on behind the scenes where there's some kind of conversation. Whether, you know, whether we're, you know, just corresponding or making, you know, just a discussion, just a general discussion that, hey, what could we sit down and talk about that would back this down?
Well, I don't know
that
whether
would deflate this anger balloon on both sides. And that's a really difficult thing to find, but
yeah.
You damn well better try.
Well, in the past, I mean, you know, this kind of thing has, you know, someone thinks that it's, I mean, one of the problems is the military, who always has, oh, yeah, we have a plan that will do this and that and that and another thing. And if they want to sell the plan, they'll sell it as, oh, yeah, it'll fix your problem. Well, you know, the military's record on fixing political problems has been very poor, frankly, in the past. Five, six decades. I can't think of a problem it's solved, frankly. Okay, so and here we are. Okay, and now, and we got all these generals that are trying to, you know, direct Trump. Three of them, anyway. Don't we have McMaster, Mattis, and John P. Kelly?
Nobody calls me Mad Dog.
I mean, it's just, I mean, we got to, see, that's another, it just smells like a serious structural problem that we got in the country that, is going to be settled in the streets. That's what it looks like to me.
That has been lightly touched on by a couple of people is to have, you really don't think, people who are angry with access to a great deal of weaponry aren't going to use that in the streets, aren't going to come back at you.
I think I'm hoping, I mean, I've been waiting to hear, actually, that there should be a national mobilization, another one, okay? I know there are people talking about it, but pulling that together, and not just a mobilization, but the way it was done before with huge, you know, thing in California and different places around the country as well as D.C., I think you got to, you know, promote, you know, taking a day off work, too. A holiday demonstration. And you got to start getting the idea around that it's time to, you know, shut this thing down, stop it, okay? And the big problem we got is who are the allies, okay? I mean, for once, for, you know, Richard Trump has got to spend some time with the NAACP, not Trump. Okay, and he's got to spend some time with the Mexican American community, and not Trump.
Yeah, vote
and like and vice versa, and vice versa. By the way, vice versa. Okay, you know, everyone's got to get their alliances down to have to be involved in order to turn the screw. They just have to be okay, And you got some uneasy alliances there. I mean, I really. I mean, because you got some, you have some constituencies, and I'll mention right off the bat the environmental one to talk about, which is a very important question. But those people have to get their mind around the idea that if you want to make change, you have to pay the losers, and you got to do that first, not second. You know, otherwise, you know, you're posturing, everyone's, you know, you got the perfect solution, it's all perfectly rational, but you keep effing losing, you know, because the country gets divided in half and you can't go anywhere. So, I mean, and no matter how good you are, that's probably one of the most difficult, okay, of the issues
I
think to bring together.
I would push back against your divided in half.
Well, it's close. No, it's big enough. There's a lot more shame that to spread around, frankly, on some of these questions than just the Trump base, in my opinion. But you know, there's illusions going around on many angles here about how serious this problem is, and I think we need to. We need a giant demonstration and basically the beginnings of a strike. That's what we need. We do.
In mass.
Yes. Yes, in mass. And we got to pull it together.
In every walk of life.
Yes. Right. We have to try, and we got to build toward that. I mean, I think a combination of Dr. King's tactics and the best that the labor movement can put together. You have to think through these things. It's tough, but you got the most important issue is you need the majority. An alliance that reflects a majority to move, okay? So that's why, in a way, I mean, the Sierra Club and the building trades have to sit down together and come to an agreement. They have to. Both sides.
Both sides do it.
Well, we're going to do it to him. I think they ought to politically just do whatever. You got to get rid of him and everything he represents. Which is the decay of the society.
We love the dreamers. Get out. I don't begin to know how to put something like that together, but it certainly is for people in positions of power on or influence on who have some things in common, and even the things they don't, they probably do. They just don't realize it.
I think it's coming together. I'm surprised we haven't heard an announcement yet, but I assume that's because of, you know, the problem of making it broad enough to try and do some serious damage to Trump. Okay. Yeah,
well,
I mean,
you can't, as he continues to assume that, Congress people work for him, he continues to make the same mistake over and over again, and there's not going to be any goddamn.
Well, I think it's very important to take advantage of. We see these splits and these weaknesses, okay, but it's very important to be able to exploit them, and drive them, okay, because otherwise they'll just hang in there like vultures, just waiting for the corpse to rot so they can eat it. So you got to push and shove them, and it's got to be very broad.
Look, Dennis, there's some lovely filth over here.
Speaking of corpses, Don.
Of course, yes. Mr. Lecter, Dr. Lecter, I'm glad that you've returned here to, please tell us what your idea of the perfect Trump meal might be.
It is so nice for you to talk to me again.
I love talking to you. I feel like I'm, ready to baste, frankly.
I do think some chicken stock is border and possibly some orange zest.
Ooh, orange zest. That part's good.
Sorry. Very rarely do I break out of character and laugh, but that was...
orange zest.
Hold on, let me see if I can get him back. Hold on. Don't get away from my arm!
Diesel leg.
I was a bit famished. I had a long walk, and I thought about inviting an old friend for dinner.
I know, right? Yes, right. I know. That was great.
That's creepy.
I know. He always was very creepy. Well, what's the actor's name? He's thinking. Obvious.
Anthony Hopkins.
I mean, he's just a pro, the whole way, but.
Oh, yeah.
He always has been.
Fascinating. He I don't know. People didn't know this, but he kind of just quit for a little while and decided to give himself a break, and he bought a motorcycle. This was a couple of years back, and rode across the country, staying at various locations and hotels, and just looking at maps and sightseeing the United States. And he said he would not, he was so happy to be in a position to be able to do that, because he always wanted to see the sights in the United States. And
wow.
One of the things that he, talking about coming away with was just how vast and large and impressive the United States is. But not only that, he did say, despite people's beliefs in certain things, he said generally most people were very accommodating and very nice. Even when they discovered where they did the double take, where they, they were like, you're... Yes, I am. they were like, is there anything I can do to help you, sir?
Right.
Overall, they were pretty polite, and he didn't stay in anything. There was no luxury hotels or anything. He kind of just did the old touristy thing. And I read that, and I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive for a guy who has succeeded so much. And been able to play these iconic characters. He's Thor's dad the king. I can't remember his name in that mythology. What was
who?
Thor's father
remember. I don't know. I don't know Thor's father. Gave him a hammer. Yeah. Gave him a big hammer, actually.
He gave him the hammer. Although it was taken away because he wasn't ready to become king.
Yeah.
And then when he was offered to be king, he turned it down.
Well, but then Thor, he's a complicated guy. What can we say?
For a fictitious character, sure. there's a lot of complicated fictitious characters. For example, you folks out there on the internet listening to the show don't really realize that John and Case and Mike Diesel don't exist. We don't really.
Yeah. No, this has been completely made up.
Those are just identities that we made up.
Yeah, right.
Because we thought they sounded good.
I know. I'm actually a deep mole in the White House. I'm talking to you from a bunker.
Oh, God, here he comes again. Close the door! Close the door!
A whiff of zest.
I get two scoops of ice cream. Most beautiful piece of chocolate cake.
Oh, right. Right. Can I? I'd like to have it served up in.
Excuse me.
Melania served it up in her shoe.
Believe me. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I was just. There's Joe. I was.
Would you like to drink from Melania's shoe?
I was watching. I was just. I had Bill Press on in the background, and there. I was.
You didn't even know it.
And there he is. He appears magically.
You have a serious psychological problem, but it's a great benefit to this radio station, Mike.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I'm saying in the background on my television, I have Free Speech TV on.
Oh.
I happened to look up while I was sipping my coffee, and it was who I was just discussing with you, Joe Saracioni from the Plowshares Fund.
Oh, Joe Saracioni. That sounds like a nice Irish name.
Very good point. Yeah, he makes some very good points about North Korea.
Really? You know, isn't he? He sounds like he's from Northern Ireland.
No, he is obviously Asian. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, the last time I ran into somebody named Joe Saracioni, it was more like Joey Two Toes.
Yes, I know, right? But you know.
Hey, Mikey, how you doing?
Hey, Mikey.
Do I know you? Hey, listen, that's not important. Listen, tell your pops.
Did you?
I got the thing with the guy in the thing, and I put it in the thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
See you later.
You remember
run away now.
Remember the Arnold film Eraser, where? He's got
I don't remember it, but I know it was an excellent film, probably better than most films out that time of year.
Yeah, but he had a guy in there that always plays a mobster, Italian mobster, right, or Sicilian mobster. He always. Okay, and I can't remember the actor's name, but I probably should look it up. But when you do your thing, it sounds like him. You know, just you know.
Was it Chaz Palminteri?
You know, I'd have to look it up and find out what the actor is. Hold on, I can do that. All right. Because you probably know.
Yes,
you probably know.
The Google machine.
Well, I do have the Google. Yeah.
The Google machine.
Hey, everybody,
thanks for listening.
Okay, the cast.
We're just past the bottom of the hour. We're coming up on 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Today is Tuesday, the day after Labor Day.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, let's see, we got, Joe Vitarelli, Tony Two Toes. He plays Tony Two Toes.
Yeah.
Okay, so so that's the guy. That's the actor that plays Tony Two Toes in
that's
this.
That's the guy that's in everything that talks like this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he has another one named Robert Pastorelli, who plays another, you know, kind of mobbed up dude.
Down for a very long time. Very, very long time. In fact, there was a guy who was a retired New York City cop that ended up auditioning. He was a part-time actor, but he ended up auditioning for the Sopranos, I believe. Or no, it wasn't the Sopranos. It was another. It was the Billy Crystal, Robert De Niro comedy.
Oh.
And he was in. He was Jelly. His name was Jelly.
Yeah.
He ended up getting the role in the because he was so authentic.
Right. Well, it might work. Yeah, I can see how that. So it's, anyway, some of these guys. So your thing, your Tony Two Toes thing is pretty much like the guy who played Tony Two Toes in the Eraser movie.
Well, it's, it was, Joe Cerenciani. But I'm sure Joe would probably push back against that and say that that's very stereotyped.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
There's a lot of folks. I mean, I remember, in the height of the Sopranos madness.
Yeah.
That there was a lot of Italian Americans that weren't real pleased with the stereotyping that was going on.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, it was ridiculous. I never watched it much, to be truthful. I watched maybe four episodes.
I know some people that are exactly like that.
Yeah. Okay. But the whole mafia. Yeah, everybody know MCA production. When MCA Productions was financing a lot of mafia movies, guess who had some hooks into MCA? They like to make movies about themselves. They like that stuff. They put money into that. You know, they would help finance that. The Godfather. You think The Godfather was bad for mafia business?
No,
I don't think so. Look, you could live like kings, even if you were, about as smart as a McDonald's McMuffin.
Talking to me. You looking at me? You talking to me?
Yeah, I like you. I like you. You're so pretty.
Well, the other one was he playing the sociopath in, such a good book, and now it's gone out of my head. Nick Nolte was the other character.
A sociopath.
Yeah, he was De Niro. He was Southern too. He had a Southern accent.
Oh, Robert De Niro's played so many bad. He's played a lot of complicated guys.
Well, counselor, I think we're alone now.
He played one with.
And it's right on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember.
He played one where he was a skip chaser or a bail bonds, worked for bail bondsman, and it was a comedy kind of, he did, action comedy, whatever. I can't remember the name of the comedian. He's well-known that was his partner in that whole show.
Well, he also, he was great in The Apprentice, I think it was which was a movie that I thought was just adorable.
Oh, he's a great actor. Great actor. He's been,
really thought he was.
I don't always like the films. I don't always like the films.
All these other guys working at this place, and of course, there was a female CEO, and he took a job as a temp just because he wanted to. Oh, I think it was called the temp. I'm sorry. I think it was called the temp, and he took a job just because, he wanted to work back in the old phone book processing place that he had retired from years before, and his wife had passed, and he was in retirement, and he just wanted something to stay active. And it was so funny, the glare. He got up in the morning and put his suit on and went to work because that's what he was. And he's working with all these kids, all these millennials around him that are wearing just short shirts and just khakis and it's like every day's casual Friday and he's wearing a suit every day.
Sure.
It was interesting, and the way they show him getting to know people and getting to know how the process works as to what they're doing online and how they're, and it was like a fashion company that was producing, dresses and shirts and tailor-made stuff online, and it was just interesting seeing him in this environment and how a lot of younger people can learn from the application of consistency. That there are some, I think a lot of, and even me, making fun of that kind of, he's just a dinosaur. He's just an old guy.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing. Occasionally, I think the lesson that you come away with is, you have to respect wisdom and experience. There has to be some type of respect for that.
Well, sure, because otherwise, you know, why do you want to make the same mistakes over and over again that everybody else already made and knows you? Well, maybe you shouldn't go down that street. That's not going to get you where you want to go. You know.
Well, I'm going to drive right through that ginormous pothole because everyone else did.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do because I don't like the axle on my car.
Yeah, one more car eaten by the bottle. I mean, right.
One more car absorbed into the Jefferson County system of roads.
Well, so now one of the big issues in the legislature is going to be the road bond. They're going to have to borrow money to pay for the roads. And, you know, the right wingers, of course, have it in their thing. Well, borrow money. How will we pay it back? You know, kind of thing. And
we were thinking about taking it out of your pocket. How about that?
Yeah, right. But if you don't fix the roads, I mean, you know, forget it. You know, you know, businesses are going to start to say, well, I did have a business, but my customers and my suppliers can't get here no more. So,
can't ship across that lane.
Can't get there from here.
Nope.
So
it will destroy the product.
You know, we in effect, our road policy has become our trade policy. What's that? Well, we don't trade because we can't get there. You know.
There's no there.
There ain't no there.
Listen, John, I'd love to buy those widgets from you, but you gotta understand the position I'm in, man. You know, your shipping lanes, man, they're just screwed. I can't. And the insurance is way too high. It's gone up too much, and my drivers are complaining, and, you know, my people don't want to get lost in that cluster F that is your roads.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know.
Hey, good talking to you, though. Good talking to you, though, John. Bye-bye.
it's the sound you hear,
and it's called inevitability.
I know. Oh, man. Well, it's going to be another beautiful day here until later this afternoon when it starts raining, and then it's going to rain all day tonight and tomorrow.
That's not what I heard. But
well, let's like pass on your weather report.
Like it looks like it's going to rain now, actually. Looks like we've got some fast-moving clouds in here.
Well, cloud, but they're not. It's not going to rain until, according to my forecast. You're totally wrong, and let me prove it here. Uh-oh, it's giving me the weather report for England.
Yeah.
Why would it? Oh man.
I haven't had my DuVernay yet. Almost had my DuVernay engine.
Oh my God.
Please pull me my DuVernay engine with one whole squeezed lemon immediately.
Yeah. Okay. We're just gonna. What?
Well, they said this afternoon after 4 is when the storms are supposed to come in.
Really?
The original the last forecast I watched last night was showers after 4 p.m. through the night and into the morning and then clearing tomorrow.
Well, okay, I mean, maybe you're right. I don't know. It's just, dry conditions will continue.
Could you say
today.
That again, John? Could you say that again?
Maybe. No, there's no forecast for rain right now.
John, could you say that again, please?
You may be right, but you may be wrong.
Could you say it again, please?
You may be right. You may be wrong.
I may be crazy.
You may be right.
But it may
be wrong.
You may be weak.
But we are strong. Yeah, Enlightened Radio. Be strong. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. We got a light coming down. We got the Betsy DeVos light turning on. Oh, jeez. Betsy DeVos.
For each secretary, the word is creepy.
An Amway kind of, what should we call her?
Hey, listen, John, come on in, sit down. Let me tell you a little bit about this, okay? Here's the program.
Where's the flag?
They tell two people, and on and on and on. And you're going to get the rewards from this person, this person, this person. And it's going to flow upward to you, see? So you have to establish your downline and your upline.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Super. Ain't it great? Get excited.
Betsy, I understand you have an assassin for a brother. Well, how much would he charge to put you down here, baby? Betsy DeVos and her brother. Yeah, it's a DeVos and her brother, and her husband's an Amway.
Let me take over the Afghan war for you. Let me take over the Afghan war for you.
God Almighty, you know, finally the Taliban. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gonna be, you know, if this thing goes on another 10 years, I'm gonna support the Taliban.
John, don't speak like that.
Well, I'm, you know, come on. What, 16 years? And what is the objective?
There isn't. I think we've forgotten what it is. I don't even know that there is an objective anymore.
Jeez.
Other than the financing of the military-industrial complex.
I mean,
continuing to invest in weaponry and test market bombs and explosives and planes.
So Trump said he was going to stop doing business with anybody doing business with North Korea. That includes India, China, Russia, Pakistan, England. Let's see.
Yeah, that's going to work out.
That's not going to work.
That makes as much sense as starting a university. Oh, wait. That makes as much sense as starting an airline. Oh, wait. That makes as much sense as selling steaks. Oh, wait. I could go on and on and on.
Anyway, so, well, there's going to be a big move amongst the Dreamers, and I hope the all the Latino community. But it's time to move toward the massive demonstrations, and at those demonstrations, we need to talk to people about possibly the need to take a national holiday to shut this down. You know, it's one of these things you got to build up to. But, you know, we really got to talk to people. It's time to get serious about shutting this thing down. Okay.
And we talked about this. We talked about this a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's time. On the air at the previous location. We did discuss this. But, you know, if there was an opportunity to push that across the board in every profession. And I mean every profession.
Yeah.
I'm not excluding any kind of professional athlete or anybody else. You know, stop. Just stop. Don't show up. Just stop and see what happens.
Well, we need to get, for example, wherever we can get city council people, legislators, and stuff that are going to join the movement here to help support that.
Anyway, right? You did not. Sammy never called in, did you?
She didn't call in. No. I think that there was a. No, she never called. But that's okay.
I'll just send her an IM and say hey.
Hey, what happened? Yeah. Okay. I know she's. They got her running around crazy with the.
Oh, I know. That's
young Democrats.
But. She may have. She may have. I know that she was doing something with Rosie the Riveter function.
However, the Rosie the Riveter function is something. I mean, it's okay, but frankly, we're spending too much time on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are. I mean, the Labor Council needs to be doing something, you know, a little
there's
more
a
than
other,
Rosie the Riveter, okay?
A lot of other people who would push back against that.
It's a good thing, but, you know, frankly, it's about. That and writing checks to candidates that lose elections is about it, and we need to change that.
Yes, we do. We need to do a lot of things, John.
Well, organizations need to talk to their members, okay, about what's going on. They need to have a conversation with them about their future, okay, and about what's really happening here.
What's going on?
Whether they're going to have any kind of job or whatever. I mean, and, you know, they're looking at, I don't think any, for example, let's take the worst case, a bad case scenario, not the worst, just a bad case scenario of this Irma thing does some serious damage in Florida or somewhere on the coast, okay? And, you know, you have now a double whammy, $100 billion or whatever hit on the emergency funds. Well, you know, I mean, Trump, he didn't have the ability to raise that kind of money. Frankly, and I don't know whether the Congress, you know, they are so screwed up. I mean, this is a perfect example of a test of how serious the dysfunction is if they cannot respond because they're paralyzed by being compromised by all this effing corruption. They can't possibly unite with the Democrats, you know, to do anything.
We're coming up 5 minutes before the top of the hour here at the Winners and Losers.
Yeah, we're going to be
broadcast with your original Dusty Foot philosopher and host, Mr. John Case.
And
Tuesday, September, I don't know what it is.
It's the 5th.
The 5th, yes. That's all September 5 right. All day long.
Drink a fifth so, today.
And we're going to come up on a few minute break here.
Yeah, we are because I'm going to take a break between now and we've had a fun time, and this is a good thing to post. If you put it up for an hour, people listen to it. I looked at the downloads. When we go for 2 hours, we get less downloads. When it goes for one, we get more.
John.
Yes.
John. John, I just.
Oh my God, Bernie, you're here! Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I know you only have a few minutes left, but let me just point this out, John. Okay. The people who are at the top will continue to stay there until we do exactly what you tell. We need to have a national day of strike.
I agree. Bernie.
Enough is enough.
It is enough. And thank you, Bernie Sanders, for your contribution. And to those, let me just call them stupid people on the fringe of the Democratic Party who are thinking about running against you in Vermont. Well,
hey, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you. Okay.
And listen, we have a plan. And I just want to say thanks to John Case, even though no one is listening to whatever John Case has to say. In fact, I don't even know who John Case is. Buy my book, Al Franken, Giant.
Thank you, Senator Franken. Okay, well, we're going to call it quits today for the Winners and Losers radio program. And in about an hour, we're going to hear Dr. Zaki McGill and hopefully Ari Plost, Rabbi Ari Plost, and we're going to be talking about hate and its remedy.
We'll be looking forward to that, John. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mike Diesel, and thank everybody out there. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next. Arf, 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 as arf. My dog says. Take care. Bye. All right, so we're going to do some, we're going to attempt anyway to bring back some music to the situation here, if we can. And there we go.
Couldn't read the. Okay, I got it. I got it. This is Senator Bernie Sanders. And on behalf of my good friend, John Case, I approve of Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio. That is correct. It's called EPIC. Why?